Hello?
Blog Talk Radio.
There you go.
Welcome to Stargazing with Star Fuentes. Star Fuentes is a master intuitive healer and spiritual teacher and has been a pioneering student of metaphysics for over 50 years. She has learned lifetimes of priceless information from her years of seeking out and living with indigenous healers and shamans around the world. Visit her website at www.starfuentes.com and then join her here every Wednesday night on Spiritual Connections Radio as she shares her knowledge with you. And now, Star Fuentes.
Welcome. After the half hour, we will be taking questions. The number is 646-716-9663. Today, I'm privileged to have with me Joanne Rutledge. Joanne, would you tell our audience a lot about yourself?
A lot? I don't know if there's a lot to tell. Thank you very much for having me on your show. I'm a French Canadian, for one thing. I always say that to begin with because you have to excuse if I make mistakes somewhere down the line. I'm a professional medium. I started my spiritual journey over 30 years ago. One day I went to take a visualization and a meditation class. And after that, everything, all the doors opened for me. It happened that year that I had to go to the funeral home three times for family. And I was sitting in a corner. I was never very thrilled to go in a funeral home. And I was sitting in a corner staring at this person in a coffin, wanting to be very little and very quiet. And suddenly I felt this person was talking to me. And, of course, I thought I was crazy. And I asked for a proof. And the first time I remember, I asked for a flower to fall off on the floor, and it did. And I didn't repeat that to anybody, but three times in a row that same year, each time I would go to the funeral home, and this deceased person would show me that they were really talking to me. And that opened a whole new world to me. Of course, I didn't know how to handle it, and I didn't want to tell anybody about it. But then I started to remember when I was a little girl, I used to see my dead grandfather. I was about 10 years old, and I would see him in a mirror in the bathroom at night, and I would really, really be scared, and my mom would say, oh, you're imagining things. So after I started really talking with people from the other side, I realized I was not crazy when I was a little girl, but I was scared to death. So with time, I developed my abilities that I believe everybody has. Everybody on the planet is born with the same connection to the source, according to my belief and according to a few thousand readings I've done through the years. And it all depends if you decide to embrace it or if you decide to ignore it. And there's no right or wrong, of course. It's like playing piano. Everybody can play piano, one finger at a time or a concert. It all depends if you embrace it and if you practice it. So through the years, I stayed very quiet about it. And one day, one of my friends was very sick, and the doctors couldn't figure out what she had. And I had a boyfriend at the time who was a huge, huge fan of Edgar Cayce. And he told me, and I didn't know who Edgar Cayce was. I was moved to the United States at the time, 23 years ago. And he said, you know, you talk to people who are crossed over, and he's crossed over, and he used to help people that were sick. So he said, why don't you call him and see what it does? And I said, oh, my God, I don't know if I can do that. I've never done anything like this. So he said, sit here and let me try. And when Edgar Cayce came inside of me, I was sobbing. I was completely overwhelmed. And I described him, and I described his life, and I described how he looked like. And I was right, and I didn't even know about this man. So finally, he told my friend what was wrong with her and what to do about it. And after 3 months later, she did everything he said, and she was back on her feet, and she was perfect. So this when, you know, she was working in a doctor's office, so she started to tell another person, and I guess this is how my career started as a medium. Of course, I didn't call myself a professional medium at the time. It took quite a few years before I thought that I was good enough to make a living out of it and really help people. Then I went on to learn Reiki and Theta and all kinds of other ways of bringing healing to people. And one day, I came into rebirthing. And rebirthing, besides being a medium, is really my passion, the center of my life. It actually saved my life. I had a very tough childhood, and for as long as I can remember, I didn't want to be on the planet. And it was a very hard road until the day I found rebirthing. Somebody gave me a card, and I went before that. I tried psychology and psychiatry and all kinds of things, which never worked with me. And then the day I rang the door to this person, and she opened the door, and I had my first session of rebirthing, which is breath work. My life started changing from that day, and that was 23 years ago.
Wow. Leonard is a friend of mine, and he drops by occasionally when he's driving cross-country, and I think I've been exposed to rebirthing for 23 or 24 years ago since he hung out with Sandra Ray.
Yes, yes.
So rebirthing is very intense, and it takes you places and removes things from your body you don't even know you had. You know, so I really support rebirthing. So you're a rebirther also?
Yeah, I'm certified with Leonard in Virginia, and I've been rebirthing people for, oh my God, about 10 years, I would say now, and it's magnificent. It's like a miracle. But rebirthing is a therapy where you are your own therapist. So your body takes you where you're ready to go. Your body takes you through what you're ready to go through and release what you're ready to. So you're not telling your story to somebody. You're working yourself with your body. Of course, you need a therapist or a guide or a rebirther or a breathwork therapist by your side, because sometimes it's a little bit overwhelming. But you are your therapist. It means that you're telling your body, I'm ready to work. I'm ready to release whatever is in my way to be the happiest person I can be on the planet. And this is why I think this is the best therapy on the planet. But it doesn't resonate with everybody. Nothing is perfect for everybody. There's a good recipe for every person. So there's other therapy on the planet that are fantastic as well. I believe in everything. This is my thing.
And it's one thing when you have cancer and one thing when you want to work and one thing when you have another disease. I mean, there are many, many ways to heal.
Absolutely.
Let's start out with your medium experiences. Tell me one of the most interesting times you saw dead people besides at funerals.
Oh, God. There are so many. You know, my favorite thing is to, I don't know how to say it, but on ghost places. I've been to amazing places where I there was packed in there, and I was able to open a light and cross over people that were stuck there forever. I don't know, there's so many. One of them is St. Augustine. When I go to St. Augustine and I go at the fort, and there's like what they call the hole when you go underneath and people were dying there. It's always packed. It's always magnificent just to empty this space. My ex-sister-in-law lives in Virginia, and her house is right on the line where the North and South Civil War was. So the first time I went in her backyard, I heard she's coming. I'm like, oh, my God, who's talking? And she told me, oh, you know, there was the war here. There's a lot of people who died here. And, again, I heard she's coming. And, my God, I passed hundreds of people in the light, horses, all kinds of things. It's magnificent. It's like an entire different world.
Well, I remember I was in the New York subway one day, and it was Valentine's Day, and I couldn't get a taxi. I'm about a 200-pound woman, and my best friend at that time was 97 pounds, a skinny woman. I sat down on the subway, and a spirit looked at me, and I looked back at it, and the spirit yelled, "She sees us!" And at that point in time, 100 spirits that were caught in the subway in New York forced themselves in front of me, and I started snapping them and taking them into the light and calling the angels. When we got off at our stop, there were so many spirits behind me waiting to go into the light that I stood next to a pole, and I slowly collapsed backwards to the ground, and my 98 pound friend Nancy was desperately trying to catch me, and I'm putting these spirits in the light. And the next week, I sent 10 of my students down all the subway lines to clear the entities, because sometimes they get caught in places like underground or where they died, and they can't leave. So being a medium is such a service to spirit, you know. And for me also, I had those thoughts, I'm crazy, I'm nuts, I'm hallucinating, you know what I mean? And that was, at that point in time, when I was like in my teens, there was nobody for me to go to.
Absolutely.
You know, until my 20s did I get to actually talk to people who helped me and said, well, this is what's happening and this is what's going on. And people think it's very scary. I believe that seeing spirits is very sacred, but the processes of getting them into the light is something that's important in the evolution of that soul. And sometimes it's my blessing to do it, and sometimes it's my lesson to do it. So it's been quite a ride seeing things and seeing spirits that other people don't see. I'd be driving down the road, and I'd step on the brakes, and my friends would go, well, don't you see those people crossing the road? My friends were like, you're not driving. There's nobody there.
That makes life interesting, for sure.
And, you know, many people come and say, I want to talk to my husband, I want to talk to my grandfather, I want to have that last connection or that proof that spirit is there. And in that process, if the spirit does happen to show up, it's such a healing for them. Don't you agree?
Oh, it's magnificent. A couple of weeks ago, this lady came with her two grown-up children, and her husband passed last November, and she's been crying. I mean, they can't get over it. And, my God, I don't know. When I do readings, my eyes are closed. I don't look at people's face. I focus within me because they're all inside of me. And the healing that went on, she would, oh my God, this is exactly what he would say. This is exactly how he put his finger on his face. This is exactly. So sometimes it's this one little thing you do that she finally understands that he's really there. And when that happens, then the healing happens. It was magnificent. Yeah, it's a gift every time.
And for me, the hard part sometimes was letting go and giving up control. You know, when that spirit steps into your body or when that spirit is near you, it's just not letting my mind reason and just letting the energy come. Well, that was about 50 years ago, but still, it was, I still remember how sometimes I fought it, you know? So letting go was a big experience for me to be able to do that.
Not to put your own grain of salt in there, of course. One big experience was, after the year I went to the funeral home three times, it happened this one time, one of my students at the time, her boyfriend died. I went to the funeral home, and I was completely overwhelmed because he wanted to jump out of the coffin. He was not ready to die. He refused it. It was a cancer that came within a month. Everything was done. He was like in 40 years old. So he was after me, like, you know, you're going to tell her this, and this is not fair. And now, oh, my God, I thought I was going to die. I ran away as fast as I could. I was absolutely overwhelmed. But at the time, nobody had taught me protection. And nobody has taught me, you know, prayers and how to put boundaries and that you're in control. They're not able to take over you if you don't allow this to happen. So I think for anybody who feels very intuitive or as see things or feel things, they should seek a teacher somewhere that would help them feel comfortable in the process and learn prayers and protection and learn what's normal and what's not, and just and most of it is the children. Yeah, I've no idea how many of my students have kids who are, most kids born after 2000 are extremely aware and evolved, and those poor children are scared to death. They don't know where to turn.
Parents are saying you're imagining things. Don't pretend. You know, many times I have seen a child talking with their spirit guide, and the parent has said to me, oh, isn't it so cute? They have an imaginary friend. And I'm seeing, like, the spirit guide, an actual, you know, misty spirit guide, and the spirit guide and the child are talking, and the parent say, isn't it so cute? They have an imaginary friend. And the parents sometimes stifle the psychic growth, you know, in the children. And that you need to be very conscious that just because you don't see it, you don't feel it, you don't believe it, it doesn't mean it isn't there.
Yeah, I was watching a movie the other week, the old movie with Whitney Houston, The Preacher's Wife. And at the end, the angel disappears, but he's the only one, the little child, to see it. And at the last thing he says to his father, well, Daddy, it's like air. Because you don't see it doesn't mean it doesn't exist. And I thought it was such a good line from a little boy. Because you don't see it doesn't mean it doesn't exist, like air.
And Joanne, where can we find you on the Internet? What is your website?
My website is reachingsouls.biz, B-I-Z.
Okay, and you have classes and you have sessions and everything listed there.
I've been teaching mediumship for 12 years. Of course, at the beginning, I was teaching in my house, and finally, I was able to open a school. So we teach rebirthing. I'm also a Qigong level 2, so I teach breath work in many different ways. I teach rebirthing and other ways of breath work, because I really believe in breath. In any way you want to put it. We have rebirthing every second Friday at the school, and I also do rebirthing in private. The mediumship is class 1, 2, and 3. We give 4 class 1 a year. And the next one is in October, the last one of this year. And
well,
it's a place where everybody can come from any religion, any nationality, and they can talk and be heard, and, you know.
And what city is this?
I'm sorry?
And what city do you teach in?
In Fort Lauderdale. It's on Commercial Boulevard in Fort Lauderdale.
Oh, that sounds very, very wonderful.
Yeah, I'm still very blessed that I have that.
What was your most spiritual experience you've had this lifetime, or something that really, really stays there in your memory. Can you share that with our audience?
Besides the first time that Casey came in, which was something I will never forget, I did a lot of channeling. I channel for groups. I channel. My book, in fact, was completely entirely channeled. And there was so many entities and spirit that came through to help us or help me writing this book. And I think that was the most humbling experience. Being the vessel through which they talk, being so small and so insignificant, and then those huge people come through you and speak is amazing.
And what is the name of your book, and when will we see it?
I should be published around December or January, and the title of the book is More Than You Know.
Oh, that's a great title.
Yeah. Also, I'm lucky enough, and I'm not the only one, I'm sure many, many mediums and healers out there are working with either doctors from the other side or high beings from the other side. So they often come at the school when we rebirth there, because when you breathe, you raise your vibrations. So after the rebirthing, they come in and they do a lot of healing. And it's amazing, the testimonial of the people after, saying that there was pain there and it's gone. It's just absolutely amazing. I'm just humbled by all this. It's just, I feel I'm like so small, and we are. We are very so small on the planet, and they're so amazing on the other side, and they share it with us. I think we're so lucky. I feel lucky to have been born again in this century where we allowed to speak up. And, you know, I'm thinking about Sylvia Brown, who left us a few months ago. She opened the doors for us. James Van Praagh, all those people that were first on television and the courage to open the doors for the big public to know what mediumship and all this is. I think we're very lucky. Don't you think?
I think we're very lucky. And now the types of movies we're having, you know, the types of movies we're having, Thrive and many, many different movies that relate to higher consciousness and higher awareness, it's good to see the people watching them and listening to them. Many, many times people have come to me and said, don't tell anybody I'm here. If my family knew I was seeing a medium or intuitive, they'd think I'm nuts. But people will be drawn to you because they just can't get the message clearly. They know there's a message. They know there's something there, but they can't work through their grief or their own process. So seeing a teacher, seeing a medium, seeing an intuitive, seeing somebody who's got a few decades like you do and I do under our belt is really, really good for you. And many, many students of mine through the last 50 years have had lots of questions that bothered them for years. And because I went and sought out many teachers all over this planet, I had some words for them about what the energy was like. And I'm so glad you have a school. So personally, how has your life turned out being on the path, the spiritual path? How do you feel about being on planet Earth right now?
I just feel lucky. Since I was a little girl, all I wanted to do was help people. I just didn't know how I was going to do that. And I always wanted to be a nurse for some reason, and it didn't turn out that way either. So one day I went to see a medium, and I was very frustrated, and I said, why am I not a doctor? Because surgery for me is, I mean, I can watch surgery all day long. This is, I love it. And she said, you've been a surgeon 3 times already. You're not going to do it again, but this time you're going to be a soul healer. And that was 25 years ago. So I had no clue what she meant by that. And I'm just getting there. I feel that every day I'm learning something. Every day I'm bettering the person I am. I think this is the most important thing, is to be the best person you can be on the planet. Whatever you do, if you're an electrician, if you're a singer, if you're an accountant, whatever you do, just be the best person you can be. Not in competition with somebody else, in competition with what is the gift and the passion you received. And take this passion and, you know, explode it. Just go all the way through it. And some people tell me, well, you know what, I cannot do my passion because I have to pay the bills. Well, you know what, I had to pay the bills for a long time too. So I did skincare for 25 years, and my second thing was to do my passion. And now I can do only my passion. But it's not an excuse to say I have to pay the bills. If you have to pay the bills, okay. And on the side, you like singing, then sing. On the side, you like animals, then volunteer with animals. Just follow your passion. This is the most important thing on the planet. If everybody goes with their passion, then everybody is going to be happy. And when you're happy, you're splashing it all over. So for me to do what I'm passionate about, I'm going to be 60 this month, and this is the best time of my entire life. Just because I'm finally full-time doing my passion.
Wait till you get to 75. You'll love it, too.
I think every time you go 10 years, it's more wonderful.
It is. And, you know, really, if everybody was doing their passion, there wouldn't be any war. Everybody would be satisfied. We'd be arguing. We'd be feeding each other because some
Absolutely.
Of us would want to do that.
If you can do it, An hour a week until it grows enough that you can embrace it completely. So there's no excuse.
And that's how world peace will come about, is everybody doing what they love. So tell me once again, where is your website and how can I get a hold of you, Joanne?
My website is reachingsouls.biz, B-I-Z. And the phone number is 954-821-2572.
And you did private sessions. A long, long time ago, I was sitting in Jakarta, Indonesia, and I met a little man, dark-skinned man, and he spoke broken English, and we were talking. And I said something about the soul, and I said, well, what is the soul? And he said to me, if I could multiply all the knowledge on the earth by a million times and give it to you, you would still know nothing about the soul.
Wow.
I was like, wow, this is a native man. How profound, how much soul searching he must have done and how many different ways he's looked at the soul. And calling yourself a soul healer is saying to me that you're willing to go into the unknown with people and you're willing to help people get through that unknown. And many people are not willing to go into the unknown. And the first time they see a spirit, they turn white and run from the room. They say, I must have been hallucinating or something. And it's important to understand that that spirit world exists, coexists with us. And when you ask for signs, the spirit world is what gives you those signs. So many people say, let me see a squirrel, let me see this. The spirit world guides that sign to you. And all of us have felt it when a grandparent, a father, a mother, a sister, a brother have died. We've smelled their perfume in the air. We felt their
presence. Absolutely, yes.
And we still go back to, knock on wood, hey, I can feel it, it's there. You know, I can see it, it's there. Pay attention, people. You have spirit guides. You may or may not have some ancestors around you guiding you, depending on your tradition. Pay attention, people, because the spirits, most of them, are here to help us. Now, we're going to take a second and go to commercial break, and we'll be right back, and you can call us at 646-716-9663 and ask us some questions.
You're listening to Stargazing with Star Fuentes. Star Fuentes is a master intuitive healer and spiritual teacher and has been a pioneering student of metaphysics for over 50 years. She has learned lifetimes of priceless information from her years of seeking out and living with indigenous healers and shamans around the world. Visit her website at www.starfuentes.com and then join her here every Wednesday night on Spiritual Connections Radio as she shares her knowledge with you. Once again, Star Fuentes.
And I am back with Joanne Rutledge. Hi. What is some of the most important things you would like to tell our listening audience that you believe would help them in living their life and living with spirit? What would you like to tell our audience?
Well, I think the most important thing, again, is first thing is to find your ideal in life and find your passion and follow it. Then the worst thing we can do is to live in fear. I mean, fear is really the enemy. Fear of not succeeding, fear of death is the worst of all. I mean, death is just going back home. There's nothing to be scared about. You have to live every day like if one day was your entire life. So when you get up in the morning, this is your entire life, all the way to 11 o'clock when you go to bed. And tomorrow is another day. Life goes really, really fast. And it's not that the other side is not wonderful, but when you signed up to come on the planet, you signed up with a mission and a purpose. And your job is to remember what it is. And how you remember what your purpose is by following what your passions are. Your body's going to tell you, okay, you love drawing and you love, you know, painting and you love, it's going to tell you, your body is telling you what your passion is. And this passion is going to take you into your purpose. That's as simple as that. But we live with a lot of, you know, brainwashing, of course, and we, a lot of times, through fear, do what is expected of us, and either by religion or by our parents or your father of your father of your father at a business, and you have to keep going. And unfortunately, this is not the way. You have to have the courage to go your own way with your heart, your intuition. That's never going to steer you wrong. And we do have guardian angels. And when your intuition says, tonight, don't turn left, turn right, it's not your little finger. It's your guide, and it's your guardian angel that says, turn that way tonight. So if you always listen to this little voice, you never go wrong. You never go wrong. I remember one night coming from work, and I was going to stop at the bank and deposit my pay or change my pay, and it kept telling me in my head, no, don't go tonight. Don't go tonight. And I'm like, I'm arguing, and I said, there's no reason that I'm not going. I'm passing in front of the bank. There's a big light there. So I did go, and two corners later, a truck ran into my car. So the idea was not to go to the bank. It was to not be on that corner at that exact time. So just listen to your intuition. Everybody's powerful, and we just give this power away to people, to fear, to objects, to other healers, to other, my God. Just find a teacher or find a book or find a way to get empowered with your gift and your purpose. And if you cannot find it, well, see somebody, an intuitive, a teacher, a medium, a counselor. See someone who's going to put you on the right track of your passion, and then, of course, it's going to become your purpose.
I agree.
Everybody's happy. then
and
the world is ugly, and it's like a ripple effect, a domino effect on everybody else. And one thing that's important that I believe is that it's cellular memory. So if, I'm sure you're familiar with family constellation. Cellular memory pass on from grandmother to mother to daughters, and it goes from grandfather to father to sons. So a lot of times people ask me, what can I do for my kids? What can I do to help them? Well, if you want to do what to do is to make you, change you, get rid of your garbage and your stomach, get rid of all the anger, the resentment, the frustration, the pain, the sadness. Get rid of it so you're not going to pass it on to your kids. And when you change, when you, or your vibration around you change, automatically, like a ripple, like a domino effect, it changes your kids without doing anything, just by changing your own energy. Because it's a chain. We're all connected. So what can you do for your kids? Make your life better. Make yourself the better person you can be, happier person you can be. Find joy. This is what you can do for your kids.
I call it lineage healing. You know, whatever you heal, your cousins, your children, your mother, your grandmother, if they're still alive, have the opportunity to heal that. It's in the lineage. And once somebody works on it, everybody gets a double, triple opportunity to work on it. One of the other things that I truly believe is education. And education doesn't necessarily mean going to school. It could be reading. It could be having experiences, going to do something you don't think you'd like to do. You know, many people say, well, I love rock and roll. Go listen to some folk music. Go listen to some jazz. Oh, I like science fiction. Read some philosophy. You know, if you don't educate yourself and you don't open yourself up to the world, and you can, what your passion is may be that next step. So continually add experience, add wisdom and knowledge to your life so you can find your passion. I mean, I'm 75 and I'm still reading 3 to 5 books a week, you know?
Hi, really? Oh, that's wonderful.
Yeah, well, I'm a speed reader, so I can eat a book in an hour and 40 minutes or an hour and a half. I love books. And some people, it's movies, and some people, they have to go places, get those experiences, because your passion will be ignited from something you see, you read, you feel, you hear, you learn.
Absolutely.
Get that education. All right.
We've got a caller on the line, if you two...
Okay, Sean, who is on the line?
We have Deborah here. Deborah, are you with us?
Yes, I am. Yes,
hi,
I am.
Deborah.
Hi, Star.
Honey. Do you have
what
a question? Do you have a question?
I do have a question. I want to say this is my first time as a listener, and I find this exceedingly exciting, warm, and just very sharing program.
I'm so
pleased to have listened to both of you tonight. I did have a question for Joanne.
Go ahead and ask.
There were like two questions. One, can you talk to animals? Is that possible? And then if she could expound upon the breath work, how is this breath work or rebirthing or whatever she's talking about, how is this different than yoga breath work or the Qigong and what her class is like?
Hold on. You're on question number 7. Why don't we let her answer the first question? Can you talk to animals, Joanne?
Yes, I can talk to any animals practically on the planet. I mean, when you start talking to energy, you can talk to anything. You can talk to plants. You can talk to, of course, you know, the most usual is dogs and cats and horses and birds, but I talk to little lizards in my backyard. I talk to practically anything. It's weird because I was told once that a horse just goes by instinct, and my God, when I have conversation with them, they talk exactly like us. They have a personality, likes, dislike, and it's nothing with instinct. I would say it's intelligence. And so are some cats and dogs, and some are a little bit more brainless, and some are very, very evolved. It's spirit. anything that lives can be connected with and talked to, absolutely.
Okay, and her second question was, how is rebirthing different from any other breath work?
Well, I guess it's the way we breathe. In rebirthing, you lie down on the floor, and you breathe all the way down where all the emotions are suppressed and held in, and you breathe like that for an hour. So, of course, after you breathe for a few minutes, you get dizzy, and at one point, the conscious let go, and the subconscious takes you back, either in your childhood, either at when you were born or in past life. It's going to go where your body is ready to go and release the first layer and the second layer, and with time it releases again and again. Of course, it's very powerful and it can be very tiring, but it's a life-changing experience. Breath is breath, but rebirthing brings you back in the path and help you release.
I believe there are rebirthers all over the United States. If you can't find a rebirther near you, look up Leonard Orr, and it will drive you to the Rebirthers International website, I do believe. And I think it was one of the best healing experiences I've had this lifetime. Does that answer your question?
Yes, it does. Thank you both.
Thank you. Sean, do you have
it.
Someone else for us? Yes, no, maybe.
Ed, are you with us?
Hello?
Hello?
Do you have a question for us?
For some reason, I'm having a bad connection. So this is Lynn.
Hi, Lynn. I can hear you. What is your question?
Be having a lot of challenges maintaining physical health the past couple months, and any insight or recommendations you can give as to either why or how I can get my health back?
Okay, Joanne, she's a very good client of mine, so I'm going to let her talk to you.
I don't normally do readings over the phone like this last minute. This is not what
Okay, so...
They're really putting me on the spot doing that.
I'm sorry for that, sweetie.
But what I can tell you is that emotionally, you're at the end of the rope. This is why you're sick. You packed up a lot of things and suppressed a lot of things, and it's putting you against the wall. So it almost like it's a wake-up call, and you're not waking up to it. So you're looking physical when it's actually emotional. And it's not something necessarily that just happened yesterday. It's been piling up.
Okay.
It's just something you're not looking at, and you're not putting two and two together. So if you look at where your life emotionally is not happy, what is it that's not working out, your body is saying, if you're not listening, I'm going to knock you against the wall, and you're going to listen to me. So you need to look emotionally, where are you in your life, relationship, your children, your job, what is it that you cannot take anymore? If you don't look at this, whatever physical pill you're going to take is not going to function. It's not going to help you.
Okay.
That's my grain of salt on it right now.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Lynn.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Who's next, Sean?
I had a few listeners that were ready, but they are disconnected at the moment, so I'm waiting for them to join us again.
Okay. It's really interesting how people's emotions can make them sick and how people's mind can make their energy sick. Do you want to address that a little bit for us, Joanne?
I teach part of that. I believe that a physical illness is an emotional dis-ease. And normally... when there's a shock or something happening in your life, 7 years later, practically to the day, the physical illness was going to show up because we have seven etheric bodies. I remember being in Mexico and giving a reading for this man, and I don't speak Spanish, so he was a little rock and roll, and he was grieving his wife who died from a uterus cancer. So I was in the middle of reading, and I said, what happened 7 years prior to the death of your wife, to the cancer? And he said she had a miscarriage, and she was never able to conceive after that. And she died from it. She died from sadness. She died from losing this child. So where did the cancer go? Where the pain was, of course, where the emotional pain was, in the uterus. So if you lose a child, if you lose, let's say you have a job and you lose it, and it for you it's the end of the life, or you lose a spouse or a mother, or you have an accident, I don't know what can happen, shocks. People get in shock. 7 years later, this thing's going to come out. A divorce, being cheated on, anything that's going to cause a big thing. So don't think that it goes away. It doesn't. It's not crazy people that go to counseling. Smart people go to counseling. Because if you suppress and swallow, one day it's going to come out to the surface as a cancer and as a disease. When something bad happened to you, go to counseling and clear it out. Speak out about it. Clear your conscience, clear your soul, because you're going to make yourself physically sick. So everybody is emotionally sick before they're physically sick, and it's not the other way around. And after talking to thousands of people who passed away, and just like you, I'm sure, this is the conclusion that I came to.
Okay.
This is what they told me.
They're very important for people to remember. It's not only what you put into your body nutritionally, it's also what you put into your life emotionally and mentally that decide whether you're going to be sick or not.
We have another individual on the line.
Okay. Anything else.
Okay, so who's calling? Sean?
All right. We have Stig on the line. Just give me one moment. Stig, are you there with us?
Oh, yes, of course.
Okay, Stig, what's your question, honey?
Well, first of all, I wanted to thank you because you put, no one could be more specific than what you said that I do. That's the structure this afternoon. That was the word lamenting. I am a championship lamenter, and I'm retiring the crown. It was really wonderful. Can you just tell me some of the stuff again? I would love to hear it in your voice, the stuff I should tell myself every day. Do you have a second for that?
Okay, I'm not quite sure that I understood the question. Can you,
no,
can
start,
you explain
start,
to me what you
start,
need me
start,
to say?
Start giving me some positive statements to say about something I'm working on. And
so,
I agree
so
with you.
What he wants from you is some affirmations for himself.
I need a big career hype.
Okay. What I know is that you are not your career. Don't mix up that your career is who you are. You chose a career, but this is not who you are. So if you're all, what I feel is if you're always true to yourself, then whether you have a career or you lose this job or you change job, it doesn't change you. You are not what you do. You are who you are. It feels like you kind of melt those two things together. I don't know if I'm crazy or something. I don't give that kind of reading on the phone normally, but do you understand what I mean?
I understand what you mean. I do.
Okay. Are you losing a job right now, or are you changing work, or are you retiring?
Oh, I'm not retired. I will never. You can't retire. No, I'm an artist, and I'm an actor. Actors never retire, ever.
No, I think you get better with time. You get better with age. If I look at Sean Connery, oh, my God, he gets amazing with age.
Okay, Stig? Stig?
Yes, yes.
You know everything you need to know. You know the positive words make the combination. Embrace what you do as a passion, not as a job, and it will renew itself automatically for you. Do you understand me?
I absolutely understand you.
All right. Thank you for calling, sweetie.
I love you. Thank you. Thank you, Joanne.
Oh, you're welcome.
All right. How are we doing there, Sean? One more call, or do we get to talk a little bit?
You are free to talk.
All right. So,
I'm very sorry that I didn't quite understand what he needed, but...
He's always been that way.
You made it very clear. Thank you for that.
He's my client for 25 years, and he's always been just a little bit that way. That's perfect. That's okay. Great man. Has done some great work in his life. So,
thing is, a lot of people make their work their life. And work is work and life is life. I mean, I'm living my passion, but I'm not, I'm a medium, but I'm also a person. So when I'm not doing mediumship, I'm a person. And I enjoy life, not only mediumship.
You get to eat, sleep, and do other things too, right? We both get to eat, sleep, have fun, do other things. We don't make our work 100 hours a week.
If we're smart, we don't, no.
And if you're smart, you identify with your passion instead of saying, I'm a medium or I'm an electrician. You know, what we do is what we do and what we be.
When I teach, some of my students have been medium forever, and they have a hard time. They're on 24/7. Means that they're listening to spirit 24/7. They're giving readings to people everywhere 24/7 on the street. And this is very, very damaging physically for the body. So you cannot do mediumship and be a healer 24/7. We're also people.
We need our space, and we need our own relaxation and our own comforts. People take me out to dinner, and they say, Star, when I take you out to dinner, we get out to dinner, and they start asking me questions. And I say, this is a social occasion. I'm not asking questions. Let's talk about the weather, you know?
That's what happens, so.
Yeah, people drive me to the airport and they're asking me questions, and I'm saying, no, I just want to enjoy your city. I'm not doing this right now. Let me enjoy my ride to the airport. And they look at me, and I'm like, okay.
This car picking me up for the airport. I was coming back home, and the man is driving, and I'm in silence because I'm tired from the trip. And there's a guy, a spirit, sitting by his side. And he says, I don't remember what he says, tell him I'm here. Tell him I'm here. I'm like, no, I'm not saying that. This guy was going to think I'm a lunatic. I'm not saying that. But then he went on and on and on so much. Tell him I'm here. And so I said, did you lose a friend? No. Did you lose like a brother? No. I'm like, okay. And then so he said, yeah. I said, yeah, I lost a friend. He was like my brother. Oh, God. And then it went on and on after that. The guy was practically jumping. The spirit was jumping on the front seat. Sometimes they don't give you a choice, really. Well, it was an happy occasion.
You know, and I hear stupid stuff, too. And I'll be there, and they said, tell him to stop smoking. I said, I'm not even talking to that person. Tell him to stop smoking. I say, stop smoking. They say, wow, that's strange. You're the 10th person who told me that today. And I'm going, okay, give a thumbs up to that spirit. He's doing his job, you know?
Oh, my God.
You know, and sometimes
it's fun, too.
It's a lot of fun. And you have to listen to what spirit said. I was in, many years I had an apartment in New York City, and I had a lady come over, and every hair on her head was in place, and she had a Chanel suit and big diamonds and everything. And I was doing this reading, and I kept seeing a lot of guns around her, and I'm looking at this woman, I'm going, I don't even think she washes her dishes, let alone has guns. Anyway, I said, why do I see all these guns around you? And she started crying. She'd inherited 100 guns from her dead father, and she didn't know what to do with them.
Oh, my Lord. What an inheritance. Lord.
Yeah, but sometimes...
And think about all the energy attached to that.
Well, think about all the people who got shot with those guns, or all the fear that people protected themselves with those guns.
Absolutely.
And all the security that people found with those guns, you know? I mean, that's a lot to carry. So sometimes what you see in the physical and what spirit tells you don't add up, don't even come close to adding up. But when spirit guides you to say it, because it usually makes more sense to the person than
yeah,
it does
absolutely.
To me.
Absolutely.
Than it does to me. So that's a little lesson for all of our mediums and readers out there.
Sometimes when I read for somebody and they talk to a deceased person and that person comes and it's a happy, happy spirit and it's laughing and joking, I start laughing. And I, you know, it's not like a respect. I said, I'm so sorry, but your father has such a sense of humor. And he's coming to me joking and he's telling me I'm so cute and he's so happy to come in a female body. And so it's not always sad. Sometimes it's very fun. Some spirits are wonderful to have inside.
And
they're nice and compassionate and loving, and it's wonderful.
And sometimes it's not so wonderful. I remember having a spirit come inside of me, a woman who wanted to talk with her dead husband, and the very first thing it said was, why did you make love to my brother? And why?
Oh, God.
I've had another spirit come and say, why did you steal the family money and not share it with the kids? And I mean, the people are like open mouthed, you know, across the table from you. And you're like, so sometimes when you ask spirit to come, the best will show up and the worst will show up. You know what? Spirit, when they cross over to the other side, they know everything.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, they're
lying. And if there's anything that you're lying, cheating, stealing about, it's probably best to do some forgiveness work on your own part, et cetera, et cetera, and work through what you have done and heal yourself, because those spirits, they're not afraid. They're not afraid to tell you the truth, and most of them are not afraid to confront you.
Well,
and they're not afraid
to
laugh
lose.
Either, you know?
One thing important, I think, well, it depends on the religion you're in, but a lot of people are afraid to be judged when they cross over. And what I would, according to my experience, the only person who's going to judge you is you. When you get a life review and you look at what you've done, did you follow your contract? Did you do what your purpose was? Did you hurt a lot of people without caring, while being compassionate? If you're proud of what you've done, and nobody's perfect, so nobody's going to have 100% on their test there, but if you're proud of all the efforts and all the progress you've done as a soul, then you're going to go right through into this light and be happy to rejoice with your soul group. But if you look at your life and you look at all the times you could have done something nice and you were nasty or you were mean, then you're going to be your own judge. You're going to feel so bad about having this beautiful light and this beautiful love coming to you and not feeling like you deserve it. And this is the judgment. Nobody else is going to judge you but yourself. This is my belief.
That's true. Now, what is your website?
ReachingSouls.biz, B-I-Z.
And we can get readings and sessions and healings. You have a medium school. You have other classes. You have an exciting new book upcoming. People, pay attention. Pay attention to the people who've been out there. She's been out there 3-4 decades. I've been out there 5 decades. Pay attention. Learn what we learned without having to go through those lessons yourself.
Yeah, absolutely. It's an easier road. What I learned in 30 years, I can teach in a couple of weekends. So, yeah, it's easier that way. But then again, we're all children. We all have to, you know, fall and get up and try again. So that's such a happy medium. Learn a little and experience a little.
And that's an interesting saying, the happy medium. Please, people, go to MasterYourLight.com and participate in some of my free, fun things. And there's some great things you can buy. There are 50, 60 audios you can listen to, treasure maps, puzzles, participate with me. I want to thank you, Joanne Rutledge.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me
tonight. And hopefully my listeners will reach out to you and buy your books and participate with you in your life and your teachings. People, take a deep breath.
Thank you very much.
On behalf of Spiritual Connections Radio, thank you for listening to Stargazing with Star Fuentes. Please join us again next week for another enlivening episode. For more information on Star's classes or services, visit her website at www.starfuentes.com or call the office at 501-609-0660. That's 501-609-0660.